What word was that that described it? Confusion. And that's exactly what you have with all the perversions. Amen? All right, let's have some light on it. Thank you, Brother Cruz. We know that we have the book that God chose to use to win the souls and have the revival meetings and build the churches and send the missionaries. Amen. We have that in the King James. Really, it's only been in the last 100 years that other versions begin to show. Actually, about 1890 to 1903, right in that area, you got the American Standard Version. But it didn't catch on that much, and it was pretty much by itself. But then they started all the things, and in 1952, with the RSV coming in, denying the virgin birth, cutting that out in other places. Then they got away from with the RSV of changing from chapters and verses, so they don't even, a third grader that can count to 100 can be confused when they just skip verses. And they'll go from 20 and skip two verses, maybe start out again in 23. It almost looks like somebody might be behind the scenes wanting to cause confusion. I think we'd know who that would be, wouldn't we? Amen. Certainly ought to know. Confusion is a good word for our day. Deception goes along real close with it. And that's the day and time that we've moved to. Today is 9/11. Anniversary, 12 years. Most of us know pretty much where we were when the planes hit the towers and the awful, awful scene that it was. Today, all around the world, or at least in America, and rightfully so, there's been many ceremonies, many testimonies. Many folks are recanting about it. I heard a guy on TV telling his story. He said he was way up high in the building, and just by the grace of God, finally broke out to the bottom. By the time he did, of course, the building was already shaking and getting ready to go down. And people had already jumped. And as he left the building, he walked between dead bodies of people that had fallen from 100 floors up, maybe. He said, as he walked out through those dead bodies or got out, he said there was one dead body still buckled in an airplane seat. Still, you got to remember, when those planes went into the towers, they carried the passengers with them. So it wasn't only the people in the towers that died, it was the people in the airplanes also. And we've had in the news, the ceremonies and the stories and some tremendous stories. Those people jumping from the building because the fire was so hot and began to burn them, they'd rather die falling through the cool air, so to speak, than to be in the building. And America, in spite of that, 12 years old, with all our memories and all that's been kept in the news, we're still just as deceived today as to why it happened and who was behind it happening. It is amazing how we cannot understand that religious error and religious zeal and false doctrine and false religion, how dangerous it is. It is very, very dangerous. And yet we move to a place now to where it's being accepted to be politically correct, speak politically correct, more so as kicking the truth out and bringing in the confusion. It amazes me how that happens. I look over in John chapter 16 and verse 2, and maybe you ought to turn there. I'll show you a little bit of religious zeal gone astray, religious zeal on the wrong side. Nothing as bad as the false religion that brought on 9/11. But this has to do with the Jews. In John 16 and verse 2, Jesus is speaking. He says in verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended." Then he tells them, he predicts what's going to happen in verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Now we know that's a Jewish synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Now get the point. Here was the zeal of the Jews when the Christian church was getting started and the gospel had reached and where Jews were getting saved and leaving Judaism for Christianity, and the persecution that it began to be. And then, of course, you got the whole book of Acts with so much of that. And yet, Judaism is our foundation. We understand that. But the persecution, and then God called one of the leading persecutors, Paul himself, and changed him and made him the great advocate of Christianity. Without him, we wouldn't know what we know, of course, about it. But here the Jews said, Christ said, they'll put you out of the synagogue, and the time cometh that whoso killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Well, you have a follow-up on that in Acts chapter 8, where they stoned Stephen and killed him as he preached to them. Now, if we spiritually apply that, we see this same truth in Islam today. They think they're doing their God a service to kill Jews and Christians, and we're called infidels. Now, America is hurting from this. Now, I just caught a little glimpse of it a while ago before I left home as I getting ready to come to church. The Pastor Jones that's been in the advertisement of planning to burn the Korans got arrested, not at the park burning them, but on his way to the park, pulling his barbecue trailer or whatever it was. It did not say the charge he was being arrested on, but they arrested him. It said he was was pulling the covered barbecue pit with oil-soaked Korans in it. Now that ought to mean, if that's a crime, that every service truck going down the road with oil-soaked rags, see how ridiculous we have gotten? They created a charge that don't even exist. Just don't even exist. Say, well, why would they do that? Why would the good guys side with the bad guys? And Islam is the bad guys, and I don't care who hears me tonight. They're the bad guys. And why would we do that? Because we're scared. Because we're fearful. Because here was the thing. If we'll arrest him before he gets there, there will not be a confrontation if some Muslims show up. That's how scared we are, folks. That's why cartoonists had to leave their own country, because they said something funny about the pedophile Mohammed in the news cartoon. Fear has taken over. It's taken over Europe. It has taken its toll already in America, and it's going to grow. It is growing. Right now it's growing. Now, fear of violence, fear of suicide bombers, fear of terrorism, and the home of the brave is not looking so brave anymore. And I hate to say that, but it's the truth. It's a solid truth. Now, I wouldn't do it the way Pastor Jones is doing it. He's doing it for publicity, I understand that. He's doing it for all the flair. But in spite of the wrong thing of doing it for that, he had a right. He had a right to. I mean, we're supposed to be the land of free speech. Right? When they can take a cross, invert it, and dump it in a jar of urine, and set it in a museum, and get a tax grant to do it, and be protected because it's free speech. And that has happened. I'm not making that up. How about the free speech of burning a book? You say, and I've heard this in the news, It's always terrible to burn a book. No, it's not. There's a bunch of books ought to be burned. Playboy magazine ought to be burned. And I'd go on down the list. And by the way, he was going to burn some books, not bodies. They burned bodies when they flew those planes into the towers, didn't they? And yet, that's how stupid and scared we've gotten in America. I don't care who's hearing me tonight, where I got some friends out there that say, oh, easy, easy, let's don't disturb them. Well, they're going to disturb you every chance they get. Every time they got the upper hand, they're going to use it. And on 9/11, anniversary here of 9/11, are we too timid to say who done it? Why they done it? And that they'll do it again? Yes, they will. Say, preacher, is it ever right to burn books? Well, open your Bible to Acts chapter 19. Just open your Bible to Acts chapter 19 and let's see if it is. Now, some of you, don't give me no bad vibes. You're in the wrong place to be against what I'm saying tonight. Verse 19 of Acts chapter 19. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word, not a word, the word of God, and prevailed. You see, everything against the book is against the word of God. If it's against the Bible, it's against the word of God. Just as you saw Sam Gipp making the point there. I hope y'all know he was not in alien territory. He was with good students like yourself that was acting out the part for the video. I hope you understand that, don't you? Hope you do. Anyway, he has been in alien territory. I know him good enough to know he has. But here they burned these books when they found out they were wrong. They found out they were against the word of God. So they brought them in, these devil people, these devil-possessed people, these that were into the curious arts, brought in their devil books, and that's what they were, and burned them. Amen. I have told a many convert, get rid of your books. Amen. I've told a many convert to get rid of your music albums. Amen. Because the author behind them is the devil. Right. Let me move a little further and say this. God's going to burn the authors. Amen. Starting with the devil himself. Amen. They got a place of fire prepared for them. It's called hell. It's got fire in it. And you stay with your King James and you'll read what hell is instead of what the liberals want to make it with the new versions. But anyway, here in the book of Acts, they burned them. I've had books come to me, and by the way, I've told a many convert, destroy it. Amen. Don't give it to a friend. Don't even throw it in the garbage can, because somebody else may get it out. Destroy it. Fire is a good way to destroy most things. Way back when the bad music first come out, kids, you won't know what I'm talking about, but it used to be on a big round black disc. Oh, as big as a dinner plate or bigger. And I remember some youth leaders got all the kids to bring in their bad records and they were going to break them. And their things wouldn't break. They're very hard to break. So you know what the youth leader did? He built a bonfire. Amen. And they're hard to burn, but they did burn. Amen. Rightfully so. I've had somebody come to my congregation at least twice or more I can think of that brought me some curious books, just like I read about here in Acts 19, and gave them to me. Now, it was probably after they saw the truth and they thought, well, they give it to the preacher. It's like the young lady said, these short dresses of mine are going to take me to hell. I'm going to give them to my sister. No, you don't give bad stuff away. You get rid of it.
Amen.
You destroy it.
Amen.
That's what you're supposed to do with it. Anyway, it's right sometimes. Hey, there is a satanic Bible out there. What's his name? LaVey. Anton LaVey. I guess he's dead and in hell now, isn't he? I think he is. He went to the place. He tried to get a lot of other folks to go with him. And they had a satanic Bible. Now somebody gives you that and you go in your backyard and burn it tonight, you won't lose any rewards over that. God won't judge you for burning a holy book. It's holy to the devil. And the Quran is holy to a false religion. It is not a holy book. By no means is it a holy book. And yes, it'd be right to do that. But see, we've slipped into this fear thing. Today in Washington, D.C., the Muslims could get a permit to have a million man march. Now, they didn't have but a few hundred show up. And I haven't seen it. I haven't had time today to watch anything. But maybe late tonight, I'll catch the rerun of it. But they could give them a permit. But when the motorcycle boys said, we'll also have a rally, they couldn't get a permit. Americans. You say, well, maybe it was a motorcycle gang. Maybe it was. They ought to have as much right to get a permit as the Muslims. And give them a permit. I understand they rode through anyway. I like that. The truth of the matter is, folks, we are in a heap of trouble. Let me make a little comparison here. Anybody ever read about the fall of Rome? Rome fell from the inside. Then the barbarians on the outside marched in and took over. America's fallen from the inside. The barbarians are not on the outside of us anymore. They moved in. They moved their Trojan horse in. You know what the story of the Trojan horse? Well, they moved the Trojan horse in. It's called Islam, taking advantage of our own constitution, freedom of religion. And all of a sudden, all the bleeding heart liberals in our country have tried to make it now that you can't discriminate against them. And the crowd that was going to join, if Pastor Jones had got down there to the park and burned his Korans, if they'd have got there, there was a crowd of Americans going to join the Muslims to say it's wrong to be burning a holy book and showing disrespect to any man's religion. They weren't too respectful when they flew the planes in at 9/11. My. Truth of the matter is, I can show you that the Quran is not a holy book. Now, I'm not going to burn this one in church anyway. That's the biggest lie in the world. This is a bloody book that tells its followers to murder Christians and Jews and infidels. That's not a holy book. This book does not have love your neighbor in it. This book does not have love your enemies in it. This book does not tell anybody to turn another cheek. This book tells its followers to kill in the grossest ways. I have read it. It is hard reading. I'm going to go further. It is stupid reading. In Sir, chapter 4, I got it open right here. Sir means chapter for you and I. If we were saying King James chapter so and so, Sir. Sir, chapter 4, if you want to see where they got their inspiration from to fly into the towers, here it is. Wherever ye be, death will overtake you, although ye be in lofty towers. Time's sake, let me just give you a few places I've marked. Chapter 4, and then chapter 5. I read a little bit in chapter 5, just a verse. Only that it don't make much sense. I'm gonna be honest. It don't flow good. But it was translated back in the 1800s by a man that studied the language, and he got it as accurate as he could get it. And yet the Muslim will say you have no right to translate it into English. What they really mean is we don't want you to know what it says. So here it is. This would be Surah chapter 5, verse 33. Only the recompense of those who war against God and his apostle and go about to commit disorders on the earth shall be that they shall be slain or crucified or have their alternate hands and feet cut off and be banished from the land. Let me move on. Somebody says, it don't really say chop your head off. Yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. And they... If you're a good Christian, you know what the Bible tells you to do? It tells you to win souls.
That's right.
Tells you to live clean. Tells you to tithe. A lot of things that you ought to do to be a good Christian. You want to be a good Muslim? You murder. All through this book. Here it is. When the Lord spake unto the angels, I will be with you, therefore establish ye the faithful. I will cast a dread into the hearts of the infidels. Strike off their heads then. Strike them off from every fingertip. Take it then for the infidels is the torture of the fire. Just keeps on telling them, this is really full of love, isn't it? Full of forgiveness. No, it's not about love and forgiveness. No way. It is about killing. And that's the way their religion has grown, by the threat of the sword, convert or have your head chopped off. And you've heard me say enough about it. I don't need maybe to say all of that. Some of it's too long to read. Muhammad himself never could read or write. He only told things to his followers that they tried to write down. One of the things he told them as he laid up in a cave, at one point he said, I do not know whether I'm getting the message from Allah or from the jinns, G-I-N-S. Now, Arabic jinns is what you and I would call devils or demons. And yet that's what he said. He said that. In this book it says a tree speaks and says to the Muslim, the tree will cry out and the tree will say, Muslim, come over here. There's a Jew hiding behind me and kill him. It'll tell the Muslim, there's a Christian hiding behind this rock. Come over here and kill him. See, that's the way the religion was spread, by killing. Why are we going to take them into America, teach their doctrine, their five pillars of Islam in our elementary schools, let the kids dress up as Muslims? Are we going completely crazy? It is amazing. See, we've gone so politically correct, we're so politically stupid, to the place that we got to give them their freedom of religion. Hey, we'll let you have the freedom of religion, but when it comes to killing, you've crossed a line. And that's where they have crossed. Yet today, it's getting to be a stigma now for somebody like me to say what I'm saying tonight. And some of you may be a little queasy over it. I hope you throw up. You won't bother me a bit. Just get out of the building before you do it. I'm just simply saying to you, I'm fed up with this political correctness. I'm fed up with our kids being fed this junk. So the guy's pulling a publicity stunt. So what? Bibles are abused all the time. They're desecrated all the time. And yet, you're going to get arrested if you desecrate this thing. He was going to burn 3,000 of them because it's 3,000 people that was killed in the towers. I understand his point. I know it was a publicity stunt and all that. And yet, at the same time, It shows me the stupidity of Americans that we're going to side with the wrong side. It is ridiculous. The inspiration for bringing the towers down, 9/11 anniversary, is this book I'm holding in my hand. It's too bad. It's too bad. But when you compare it to this book, there is no comparison. In this book, you have a loving God that loved us enough to give his son to die in our place, to redeem us from our sins, to send us to heaven instead of hell, and to forgive the greatest sinner. This book has forgiveness. This book has love. This book has redemption to buy us back. This book knows no such words at all. This book knows taking the sword and killing you if you won't get right. Now, say, well, what is the answer? I'll tell you what the answer is. The answer is that we get this book to those people that are trapped in this false religion. Amen. And they are trapped. Yes, sir. I mean, terribly trapped. Everywhere that you can get them out from under the threat of the sword, they'll get saved. I've told you the story before of the Roman, the woman that said she got saved when she heard the preacher tell the story of the woman taken in adultery. What is it, John 8? I guess it is. When the woman was taken into adultery and thrown in front of Jesus, and he told her, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." She said there was no forgiveness with Allah. Until this day, even if a woman, and this has been in the news several times lately, even if a woman is raped under Sharia law, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, all of those places, then she is blamed and tried and many times executed. And she's executed by having her head chopped off. They don't show it like they used to. But I have watched on the TV screen an actual execution of a woman in Saudi Arabia. They brought her out to a ball field, just like you'd go to watch a football game on a ball field. People got in the stands, a big crowd. They brought this poor woman out there in front, made her bow down just like you've seen some medieval picture. Bow down with her hands tied behind her back, with an executioner with a sword, and with one lick, chopped her head off. Her crime, they said she was complicit in the rape. Oh yeah. This book, if there ought to be any crowd of human beings on planet Earth against this, it ought to be women. And yet it is silly women that will say, oh, don't discriminate. You don't know. You ought to know something. God gave you your brains to use more than look in a mirror. Bless God, you ought to know something. You ought to know the truth. Jesus said the truth would make you free. And this thing here, it burns me. I'm not for the man's publicity stunt, but he ought to be able to go out and burn 3,000 of these things just like he'd go out and burn 3,000 newspapers. Amen. Or pornographic magazines. Yep. Or anything else. This is not a holy book. Right. I don't care if you say, well, there's 2.5 billion think it is. 2.5 billion wrong. That's all. What an amazing time we've come to, folks. We better pray, and we better be willing to stand up, because we're seeing our people, some of our best ones, saying peace at any price. And that's what we did with communism for years. For years and years and years, peace at any price. I'd rather be red than dead. Anybody remember those statements back in communism? Thank God for some men, Ronald Reagan for one, that stood up and said, no way. And communism went down. It went down. It's coming back now. It's taking the limelight again. just like the Bible said. But whole truth is, if we don't lift up the truth, if we have a vacuum because we won't witness, because we won't be faithful, because we won't get the gospel, this is what's stepping in. The fastest growing religion in America right now is Islam. The fastest growing religion in Europe right now is Islam, because they've moved the Trojan horse in, and they are conquering with a sword, with fear. It's amazing. In politics right now, we had, what is he, a senator, a representative, Ellison, whatever state he's from up there, when he swore into our Congress, as a congressman, he swore in on the Quran. Right in America right now, one of our congressmen is a Muslim, maybe more than one. He was sworn in not on his holy Bible, but on his so-called holy book. I don't know if he knows what's in it or not. I doubt it. But you better pray about this, and you better stand when you can. Do not be timid. Let folks know. There was one guy this week wrote a letter to the Ledger that's told the truth. But you watch it, the sick, whiny, nauseating letters that come in from wimps that won't take a stand for the truth. God gave us a free country and a constitution, and this Bible was the foundation of it. We shouldn't be selling it out in this late hour, because we got kids following us, and we ought to care about them. Amen. Don't like to end with a negative note. I'm not ending with a negative note. I read the back of the book.
Amen.
We're going to win. We are the winners. In the meantime,